Amen. Praise the Lord. My message title today is, Have You Seen Jesus Lately? Have you seen Jesus lately? I want to turn to Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 56. And to many folks, this is a fairly familiar story. Happens not too long after the day of Pentecost. You know, on the day of Pentecost, it says they were gathered in the upper room. Jesus, just a few days earlier, had told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be filled with power from on high. And then on the day of Pentecost, which means 50 days after Passover, the Holy Spirit descended upon those that were in the upper room. Peter and those that were there then went down to the street. Peter began to minister. Folks began to say, Hey, I hear him speaking in my language. Because at that particular time, there were a number of proselyte Jews and folks from other countries who spoke other languages that were gathered there in Jerusalem. And they heard the gospel being preached for the first time in their language. And then they began to gather together and establish what we call the church now. And here Stephen is one of the men that has been appointed a deacon in the church. And the deacons, I think, back then probably did a little bit more than what some of the deacons do today. But he took his position as deacon seriously. And he ministered to the folks and he ministered the word to them as he did what God spoke to his heart to do through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so he finds himself in trouble, just as some Christians throughout various parts of the world today are finding themselves in trouble with the authorities because they proclaim the name of Jesus. And they tell people that Jesus died for their sins and that Jesus is the way to heaven. And they find themselves in trouble. So, well, so did Stephen. He was accused of, as some Christians are being accused today, of blasphemy. He was accused of plotting even against the empire. False accusations were brought. And as Stephen began to defend himself, and there is this message that is given in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen preaches to the people. And when he finished, they didn't like it. They didn't have that little cartoon like we had in the bulletin today. If you don't like my preaching, call 1-800-GOD or tell God. No, it says here in verse 54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. I don't like what I heard. And they gnashed their teeth on him. With their teeth, it says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into the heavens and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Behold, I see Jesus. If you go on and continue to read this, it says, Then they begin to stone him. And they killed him there on that spot. But as he was doing so, he said, Father, hold not this sin to their charge. Still had compassion for them. But Stephen had seen Jesus. Father Stephen actually saw Jesus during the time of Jesus' early ministry. It was quite possible. But he may have not. The Bible doesn't really tell us one way or the other whether he saw him in person during the time of Jesus' ministry or not. But we do know that at this time, that as his life is about to be taken from him, that he looks into the heavens And I tell you, sometimes I get a little emotional when I read this scripture, because here it says, God so honored him that he said he looked into the heaven. He saw Jesus not sitting at the right hand of the Father, but standing. And I kind of imagine maybe he may have even heard Jesus saying, "Welcome home, Stephen. You're coming to be with me. You are my child. You see me. You're part of me. I'm going to do something for you, Stephen." And Stephen cried out, "I see Jesus." There's another story in Scripture. You know, sometimes even the heathen get a glimpse. Bible's full of some places for some folks that were not what we would consider Christians, got a glimpse, had a witness, had a testimony of Jesus or of God's power in their lives. It was made manifest to them. We read the story in the book of Daniel. It's a little story that we always tell the kids in Sunday school. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And how that the king, under the influence of his advisors, whose secret desire and sole reason for recommending this to the king was to get rid of those Jews that had been brought into the kingdom. And just as Hitler tried it years ago, and just as people are trying it with Christians and Jews today, they plotted and went to the king and imposed upon his own vanity and said, "King, oh, you're such a mighty king. You're like a god to us. Build a statue of yourself and declare that all must bow and worship that statue." "Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, sounds pretty good to me. Get it done. Build that statue. Carry out these plans." Not even thinking about what the consequences could be, because some of his best advisors that he had as far as what really to do were some of those Jews. The statue is built. The trumpet is sounded. The people fall on their face and begin to worship the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar as God. And sticking out like a sore thumb is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they say, "Look, look, look, King, look, look right there. There they are. Hey, they're disobeying. They're disobeying your commandment. They're being disobedient. They're not honoring you. Arrest them. Have them put to death." King gave them a chance. He was really, I think, a little sorry at that point. "Well, guys, listen. Just fall down. You know, we'll let the trumpet sound again. You just fall down. You don't have to pray or anything. Just fall down. Pretend." And they said, "No, King. We're not going to do it. We'll respect you as king, but we're not going to respect you as a god. We're not going to fall down and worship you. It's not going to happen." So it was off to the fiery furnace. Bible tells us it was ordered to be heated 7 times hotter than it had been heated before. And a number of people died that day in that fire, from that fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tossed into the midst of the fiery furnace, and the people that tossed them in died from the heat. I don't know how many it was. But there were some sad people that day whose family members and relatives had fallen down and worshiped the king, and they saw their own family members slain from the heat of that fiery furnace. Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 through 25, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, 'Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?' And they answered and said unto him, 'True, O king.' And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." I see the Son of God walking in that fire. I see a God walking down there. I see Jesus walking down there. And those folks are not hurt. Bring them out. Bring them out. We've made a mistake. We should never have done this. Bring them out. Things changed after that. But you know what? In earthly kingdoms, things will change for the good, then they'll change for the bad, then they'll change back from the good, and it keeps going back and forth. And we find with the Babylonian kingdom, those things happened. Some of the kings repented. Their successor took them right back to where they'd been before, back and forth. But this king had an experience. He looked down and he said, "I see the Son of God walking in that fire." Made a change in his life that day. There are other folks in the Bible that saw Jesus various ways. Of course, there are those that had the privilege of actually seeing him during his earthly ministry. The Apostle Paul had a face-to-face meeting with Jesus on the road. And the light shone around him and he fell from his horse, donkey, whichever he was riding. And there Jesus spoke to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you trying to kill those that are serving me?" And a change took place in his life that day. Saul was no longer Saul the great persecutor, the great killer of Christians, but he was now Paul the evangelist, Paul the missionary, Paul who was taking the gospel, Paul who was writing down the things that God gave him to write, that it would be passed down to us today. Because he had that experience, that face-to-face with Jesus Christ. As I said, there were other folks in the Bible that had face-to-face with Jesus. And in the 2,000 years since then, there have been people who I believe, I've heard testimonies of, and I do believe, have had face-to-face experience with Jesus Christ. I know of, have heard stories of people in foreign countries who had never heard the gospel, where Jesus appeared to them and spoke to them. And oh, something took place in their life, and their life was changed forever. Brother Art was mentioning in his message Wednesday night about one of his granddaughters several years ago as a child came in and told them that she had seen Jesus. And I think he said she was 5 years old. She had seen Jesus, and she described how he looked. And that how that some days later, somebody else in church got up and testified about how that their mother was about to die, and they went home and found her all dressed up and doing good. And she said, "But I saw Jesus." It makes changes in people's life when you see Jesus. My mother, when she was a young girl, had a cousin. And I remember the place where my mother grew up and the house that she grew up in and the other family member's house. It was just several yards away and the big trees that surrounded this area. And I specifically remember this big old black walnut tree that was there. I remember playing under it myself as a child. My mother was telling me that one of her cousins one day was out playing in the yard, and she walked into the house. It was good. I believe, if I recall correctly, around dinner time, supper time, whichever you want to call it. She walks in and says to them, "I want to go home." And they said to her, "But dear, you are home." "No, I want to go home." "But you are home." And she says, "No, I saw Jesus out there underneath the black walnut tree, and he told me I'm going home." I don't recall how old she was, but she wasn't very old. They kind of dismissed this, but the next morning she went home. She had seen Jesus face to face. Jesus had shared a word with her, and she was ready for what was about to take place. There are other stories that people have shared of their experiences and their face-to-face meetings with Jesus Christ. What would we do if we saw Jesus face-to-face? If he suddenly appeared here in this room, what would we do? And I know people, they speculate what they do, what they would do and what they would do if that actually happened sometimes are different things. Brother Art also mentioned the story Wednesday night. And of course, I've heard various versions of this story about the pastor that dressed up like the devil and walked into the church and the congregation all fled except for one person who couldn't get out. And I remembered another version of it where everybody fled but one man. And walked up to the devil, walked up to him, and he says, "How come you didn't run?" He says, "I ain't afraid of you because I'm married to your sister." You know, we have these stories of what people would do, but what would we really do if Jesus walked into this room? Well, we probably have ideas what we would do. Some might faint. Some might run. But I would hope that we would fall at his feet. "Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, you're here. You're here. You're here. I got news for you folks. Even though we can't see him, his presence is here. And we need to realize and we need to act like we know that he's here. His presence is with us every time we come into this place. Oh, it's here and he's here. But do we really realize he's here?" We may never see Jesus face to face in this life. And what I'm talking about, that we never may see him physically like I look at one of you or you look at me. We may not do that. We may not have that privilege. And believe me, it's a privilege if you have that. But you know what? We should see Jesus in each and every true Christian's life. You notice I said true Christian, because there's a lot of folks out there today that say, "I'm a Christian." And they only say that because grandma and grandpa or somebody else in the family was a Christian. And they think, "Well, I'm born into it, you know. And so that makes me a Christian because they were." That's not the way it is. That's what the Bible says. You got to be born again, as we were talking about earlier. You got to have that experience yourself. Mama and daddy can't do it for your aunt and uncle or grandma and grandpa. So every true Christian, every born again Christian, we should see Jesus in their life. We should be able to walk up and see Jesus in them. I remember a few years ago, my company my wife worked at, and there was a lady who worked there that was into some various things and spiritualism and other things that go along with that. You know, if you don't like somebody, you put something of theirs into the refrigerator and you freeze it, you put them on ice and spells and things of that nature. And there was friction between my wife and this lady. And I told her, I said, "The problem is, It's not because you dislike each other. It's not because of any of the thing on the job. It's because there's that spiritual battle that's taking place there. That spirit in her recognizes the spirit of God in you. And there's that warfare that takes place. And so, yeah, sometimes if you're that born-again believer and Jesus is living in you, you're going to run into some people that you just aren't going to get along with. And maybe you don't even know why, but that's why. Because there's that spiritual battle taking place between that spirit that's in them and the spirit of God that's in you. So we should see Jesus in each and every Christian. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Now I want to read that same verse from the Complete Jewish Bible, which is, "Stay united with me, as I will with you. For just as the branch can't put forth fruit by itself apart from the vine, so you cannot bear fruit apart from me." We are to abide in him. And he said he is going to abide in us. What does abide mean? It means to dwell in. He says, if you'll dwell in me, I will dwell in you. We are going to have him living, his spirit living in us, his presence manifest in us. Goes on to talk about that abiding, that united, that personal relationship with him. And I remember for years I've been telling people that I don't have religion. If they ask me about religion, I don't have religion. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I happened to see that on a church sign just yesterday. It's not religion, it's relationship. And that's really what it's all about. It's that relationship, that abiding, that dwelling in Christ. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and I'm just going to read it to you from the Complete Jewish Bible. He says, "Here I am, here I'm standing at the door, knocking. If someone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he will eat with me. We will fellowship together. We will abide together. We will be united together. And even though we cannot see him face to face in the physical, we feel and we have his presence that is abiding, that's dwelling, that's united within us." And something we need to think about sometimes when the devil comes along and whispers in our ear to do something that's not right. Got to remember, Jesus is abiding in us. And we got to say, would Jesus do this? And if you don't think Jesus would do it, well, you better have a second thought about you doing it too, because you're taking Jesus with you. Going on in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 7, it says, "He who wins the victory will receive these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Yahweh God himself is saying, if you abide in me, if you stay the course, if you fight the battle till the victory is won, I will give you these things, and I will be your God, and you will be my son. We are part of that family. He is united within us, and we find him dwelling in us. So even if we cannot physically, in the natural, see Jesus walking down these aisles, we can feel his presence as it's here. We can look into the face of our brothers and sisters, and we can see Jesus in them. We can see him that way. We can feel his presence abiding in us. I'm so glad that he abides in me. I'm so glad that he loves me. And that he wants to be a part of me. I'm thankful for that today. And maybe there's someone listening to me today somewhere that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You can have that relationship. You can have Him abiding in you. You can feel His presence in your life. It will change your life and you will never be the same again when He comes in and abides in you. And when Yahweh God becomes your God and you become His son through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, oh, it's going to be different. Yeah, the world around you may still be that stressful, horrible place that some people are experiencing right now. That still may be going on. But you can take heart. You can have hope because you now have a home in heaven. And all of these things will soon pass. Because God dwells in you. You can see Jesus in that way. And Father, today, as I speak to these folks that are listening to me by various means, I just pray, Father, there are those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts today, that the Holy Spirit would begin to tug at that heart. Father, they will open their spiritual ears to hear as Jesus knocks at the door, and they will open up their heart's door and welcome Him into their heart. And that their life will be changed for eternity. I thank you for lives that you're going to change. For I've now asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's just